the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us.
We gon' take it up. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in.
Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers.
Tell them, turn me up. DJ Focus Dice Gamble, this one for the hustlers.
This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
We gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. DJ Focus, tell him turn you up.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You tune back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's your boy DJ Focus checking in.
Hey, and it's your girl Dice Gamble in the building checking right on in. Happy Monday, everyone. Thank y'all for waking up with us from the east to the west. Woo.
Yeah, come
Let's
on.
Let's
come
go.
On, get on up. Get
Let's
on
go,
up.
Monday.
Get that week going.
Let's go.
Come on and get up and have you a great word of prayer with your Lord and Savior so he can get you motivated and get out in these streets. And, you know, being able to be witnessing for the Lord and just be a good example. Shouts out to everybody who's trying to do their best every time they walk into, you know, their job or, you know, wherever you may be going today. Just trying to represent God to the best of your ability. I know, listen, it's hard sometimes. You might fall, and if you have to go, you know, walk away and ask for forgiveness, just go away and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, it is what it is, because sometimes, you know, people get on your nerves, Dice. I know sometimes, you know, some people got, you know, quick tempers. So I'm praying for everybody who got them quick tempers that, you know. It's a new year. Yeah. I'm just being honest. You know, some people got triggers, Dice, where you got a lot of people that have choice words sometimes, or they be petty at times. So I'm just praying for everybody who was working on their attitude.
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's a real thing. Working on their attitude and trying to get better and trying not to snap now, but you know, just leave people alone now. But for the ones out there being aggravating and you know, instigating and being petty, now, come on now, leave people alone now. Don't, you know. People only got, you know, so many buttons you can push.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because here in Chicago, the mayor actually put out some commercials last week concerning road rage, because they were just saying like 60% of drivers actually are packers of weapons. And so it's important now that you don't, you know, get yourself caught out there by, you know, flipping people to bird or yelling out your window, because when you're waiting there in traffic, people have a little time to reach on over to that glove box. So you might want to watch what you say.
Well, and pray that it's in the glove box, because everybody I know still keep it up under the seat.
Well, I was gonna say some people just roll with it. In my mind, I was especially like if you're gonna go up towards like 102nd, 75th, you might as well just take it on out. Like, I'm not promoting violence.
Oh,
I'm just saying, just if you go, you got to be aware where you at. So be safe.
Shouts out to everybody.
Be safe.
Yeah. Please be safe. And everybody use wisdom. Everybody who is legally able to carry a weapon, please use wisdom too as well. Withdrawing it. That's a whole nother beast. So we don't want y'all getting no trouble.
Yeah.
But again, thank y'all for waking up with us. We got a fun fact show. We go into this music break. We'll be right back with more. Mm-hmm. Keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yes, sir. That's a Tedashi featuring Rich Dan Famous. Thank y'all for tapping in with us. Wake up. Happy Monday to everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what a beautiful day. Thank y'all for tapping in with us.
Mm-hmm.
We got a fun packed show for him again today, Dyson. When I tell you, this Real Talk topic today, shouts out to all the Kingdom Mary folks, but we're gonna talk about this thing today, huh?
Okay. Well, let's get into it, because we got to talk about these marriage brawls. Some of y'all been brawling like the WWF and WWE, you know, so we need to have a conversation about why are we doing this, and is it beneficial, and, you know, ways to kind of, you know, love each other better. So this is going to be a good one for you couples, and for you people who aren't a couple yet. It's good for you to know what you may run up against when you meet your boo.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it is. And it's just some people that need to get some things in order. So I'm praying for everybody. Once you listen to it, don't just listen to it and don't act on it. If this is you, and we bring up some things, some tips, some suggestions, some toxic behaviors, some different things that you might be doing, hold yourself accountable. And again, let's get better. I always challenge everybody, if you can just hold yourself to a 1% accountability for your actions and your response and everything, and try to get better from that, I promise you, the world will be a better place.
It sure will.
It'll be a better place.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's talk about it. Kingdom marriages. We're talking about the marriage brawls. Oh, and spiritual detox is a little different today, don't we, Dice? We got a super talented lady who do it all, don't you, Dice?
Listen, you got you a mogul on today. Like, she's a writer. She's a singer. She's an entrepreneur, a business owner. Like, y'all going to get this work. Miss Michelle Williams. No. Miss Michelle Elizabeth Williams. Let me put some respect on her name. Both my grandmother's names are Elizabeth, and her name is Michelle Elizabeth Williams. So y'all are in for a treat today. Obviously, she's our brother's wonderful wife, and God bless him. He definitely is lucky. You know, I think he skipped the line on getting blessings, because ain't no way, Jay. We love you, but you got the hookup. Your wife is amazing. So I'm excited to have her on for spiritual detox, and I'll be real with you. Her testimony is unmatched. And that's all I can say. Like, you need to be listening, and it's a great testimony. It will encourage you. And it's going down today, so keep locked right here.
Absolutely. Please keep that thing locked. Of course, you'll know I will have lyrics for the mind, too, as well. We got our brother Justin Adams coming with that Faith and Sports Report. You know, Dice got that news in 90. So just come on, sit back. 4 hours of laughter. Listen, real talk conversations. Listen, all the hottest music and much, much more. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in. I'm Dice Gamble from The Fix, and this is your News in 90. Were you aware that goals and targets are being set for people, the planet, and prosperity in 2023? Well, the United Nations is spearheading efforts to better sustainability, to erase poverty, and to make sure every human has the same exact freedoms. Some of the 2020 goals are to end poverty in its form everywhere. Another goal is to make sure food security is active and sustainable. Another goal is to ensure healthy lives and to promote well-being for everyone at every age. For more information on how you can help transform our world by 2023, go to sdgs.un.org today. And on the rise for 2024 is the electric bicycle. Cycling can be a great way to get your heart rate up and comes with benefits concerning parking. With up to 50 miles of a ride per charge, these bicycles allow you to sit back and relax when it's time to power up a hill or you're absolutely exhausted from pedaling all day. Check out Amazon.com for tons of electric bicycle options today. And it's not too late to join the 52-week savings challenge. Using this method, you save the amount of which week it is. If it's week 4, you save $4 that week. If it's week 9, you save $9. Regardless if you start today or tomorrow, by the end of the year, you will have saved over $1,300 in your bank account. I'm Dice Gamble, and this has been your News in 90.
Yes, sir. That's that T-Rail with that grateful right there. Yeah, that's my vibe early into morning, because I know I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up another blessed day. Listen, if you hear our voice, you are blessed. You are great. You should be grateful to wake up another day, because you get a chance to go out and be great for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank y'all for tapping in with us. Another blessed day. And come on, Dice. What is it? National what day today is it?
Hey. It's National Corn Chip Day. So y'all know those triangular corn chips that you dip into queso or salsa. Today is your day. Everybody knows about this corn chip. And listen, we call it a tortilla chips, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, this thing has been a whole problem in America since 1932. You had Isidore J. Filler. He was the one who ate a tostada every morning. And then a Texas salesman, you know, he finally realized, like, if I break this thing up and sell it into smaller rectangles and triangles, it might make me a little piece of change. So he patented the concept in 1932. So, yeah, today's your day, man. Put some jalapenos, cheese, whatever meat you like, sour cream, guac, dip it, take a picture. And I posted hashtag National Corn Chip Day, because we love seeing you guys participate in the national days here. That's why we keep it up. Keep letting you know what today it is. Today is this day. Listen, somebody better have a discount on some nachos somewhere too. Let them know. hey, y'all need, we need a discount today. So I encourage you to pull up a National Day when you roll through that drive through and say, where my discount? Where my discount at today? Yeah, but Focus, you brought some offline. You said your wife makes like some that you could put in the oven.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what it is, but it's magic. My wife, shout out to my wife, baby, if you're listening, please, the Lord knows, if God put it in your spirit, you know, I think I just put a bug in your spirit. It's something, yeah, she has the nachos laid out, and she makes this type of, like, cheesy salsa type deal with the meat, the cheese, and the bell peppers, and a little bit of everything in it. And yeah, she put that thing in the oven, and shoot, 25-30 minutes going later, down, we got magic.
It's going down.
Yeah.
I love the nachos because usually when I go somewhere, you know, I got a funny eating habit, so I'm not eating all kinds of meat. But typically, when you go to the basketball games or outdoor football games or whatever, somebody always has nachos. Yeah, always. That's so real. It's like, it's just an easy real go-to. And it's always delicious. It's like, good grief. Only way it ain't is if the cheese ain't hot. Only way is not that, all that. But other than that, yeah. So get you some corn chips today, y'all.
No, you know what? And it's funny because they even stepped them up. I know I went to some games a few years ago, high school games, and they have the, they not only do they have the cheese with it, but they have the other side. You can get like pico.
It's
pico
de gallo. Listen, that.
So yeah.
Yeah, that one's fire. And it, LJ likes the white queso with the peppers.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's good. That, and even just the salsa, man, like we'll sit here and watch a game and tear through a bag with a whole jar of salsa. It's nothing. So yeah, those chips. Yeah, they changed my life. And here's the deal.
Yeah.
Salsa with corn chips turns out to be healthy and doesn't have that many calories. So those of you who are watching your weight today, go for it.
And they got all type of little dips too as well. Okay. Shouts out to that. I eat the, it's a black bean and corn, like salsa, like little dip situation that I eat with some corn chips or some of the other little crackers, you know, the little healthy crackers. So yeah, shouts out to my wife and I. We trying to eat a little bit better this year. We trying to get there. We trying to have healthy snacks.
Y'all got this. Well, nachos is a healthy snack. So go for it.
Absolutely. Listen, don't touch that dial. Coming up next hour, come on now. We're going to get one of the mogul on the line with us. Michelle Elizabeth Williams will be joining us. She's an author, singer, listen, CEO, you know, own radio stations. They do it all. Insane. Her and her husband do it all. But she coming on to share her faith story, her testimony, talk about her new book. So keep it locked for that. And come on, our brother Justin Adams is coming with that Faith and Sports Report. So keep it locked. You're tuning into The Fix.
The Fix is in.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Super Bowl 58 is set, and it will be a rematch of Super Bowl 54 as the Kansas City Chiefs will defend their crown against the San Francisco 49ers. But before we get to how both teams got to the Super Bowl, let's get to our scripture verses of the day. And this comes from James 4, verses 14 through 17, and it says this. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plan, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Again, that's James 4, verses 14 through 17. All right, let's get to the games in the NFL from yesterday. And we start off in the AFC Championship game. And just when you thought that it was Lamar Jackson's year to get to the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes says, not today.
Mahomes in the pocket, throws a deep one behind the defense. It is caught. Valdez Scantling with the grab. He got behind Mallett for 33 yards, hushing the crowd with 2:04 to play. And now we're going to hit the 2-minute warning. Mahomes has done it again.
Thanks to Ian Eagle on the call for Westwood One, as the Kansas City Chiefs go on the road and upset the Baltimore Ravens 17-10 in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs will go to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Also, Patrick Mahomes, he will look to get his third Super Bowl ring, is only his fifth year as a starter. Man, that's impressive. As for the Baltimore Ravens, it'll be a tough offseason for Lamar Jackson. He threw for 272 yards and a touchdown, but also a costly interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter. So the Chiefs, they will play in Super Bowl 58, but who will they play? Early on, it looked like they would take on the Detroit Lions.
Niner 42, shotgun snap. It's a reverse coming to the near side. Jamison Williams gets a block. He's on the numbers. The 30 cuts inside 25. Breaks a tackle 20. Staggers to the 10. 5. Touchdown! Touchdown, Detroit! 42 yards!
Thanks to Kevin Harlan on the call for Westwood One as the Detroit Lions raced out to a 24-7 lead over the San Francisco 49ers at halftime. Unfortunately for the Lions, things changed quickly in the second half.
First and 10 under center, the quarterback Goff from his own 25 spins, ball jarred free, and a handoff to Gibbs. It's loose! It's a fumble! The Niners have recovered!
The 49ers rallied back to beat the Lions 34-31 in the NFC Championship game. The 49ers outscored the Lions 27-7 in the second half. Brock Purdy threw for 267 yards, one touchdown and one interception. Christian McCaffrey ran 20 times for 90 yards and two touchdowns. So Super Bowl 58 is set, and it will take place in Las Vegas on February 11th. Wrapping up things in the NBA, one Detroit team at least won today. That's the good news. And it was the Detroit Pistons. They win their fifth game of the year as they routed the Oklahoma City Thunder 120-104. The Indiana Pacers get past the Memphis Grizzlies 116-110. The Atlanta Hawks won up the Toronto Raptors 126-125. Devin Booker scored 44 points, but it wasn't enough as the Orlando Magic get past the Phoenix Suns 113-98. And the Chicago Bulls beat the Portland Trailblazers 104-96. I'm Justin Adams, and this has been your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus at Dice Gamble, as The Fix is in.
Welcome back, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. Listen, it's time for our spiritual detox. Now, we're in for a treat today. We get a chance to, talk with some of the movers and shakers in the industry. I feel like Sis been doing it for a long time. She's a mover and shaker. She's a, CEO. She sang a little bit too as well,
Okay.
Little birdie told me she sang, Dice. She got, some selections for you too as well if you need to sing. But of course, she also is an author too as well, and just super talented in a lot of different areas. And like I say, been around for a while. And listen, a sister of ours, the one and only Michelle Williams is joining us. What's going on, sis?
Hey there. How are you?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming here now.
I appreciate that. Let me say this. There's a Michelle Williams out there of Destiny's Child. That's Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child. I'm Michelle Williams, a child that is destined. And
I love that.
I had to put Elizabeth in the middle because we were always running into each other at different events. So I had to throw Elizabeth in there. So Michelle Elizabeth Williams.
I love that. Elizabeth is both of my grandparents' name, and I love, and my cousin too, but yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
Man, that's good. So come on and talk a little bit. We got a lot to talk about with you, but share a little bit of your journey. What's that one thing, God has shown you over the years in your faith journey that you were kind of like, wow, you didn't even know that God wanted to show you that?
Basically, God just showed me that he could pull me out of the depth of things that I thought I really couldn't get out of. I grew up basically in a lot of abuse. And because of that abuse, I suffered a lot of rejection. And because of that rejection, when I went out into the world, I looked for all types of love from different people. And I didn't really truly understand until I literally met God. And when I met God, he showed me that, like they always say, rejection is his protection. And I felt like God was hiding me and he was covering me and keeping me basically for such a time as this. So I can go out and speak to people that have felt rejected, knowing that you totally are not rejected. It's literally God keeping you from a lot of things that you don't even need to be involved in. So what I would say is, I feel really, really, really good that God took out time to come and see about me and teach me more about myself. And don't get so caught up in the rejection, because if you're caught up in the rejection, you'll always live your life as woe is me. But God didn't allow me to go through that. He pulled me out of that. And now I look at myself as like, wow, it's me,
Listen, you said a lot of things right there. You were talking about abuse, and you're talking about rejection and all those things that come along with it. But how actually were you introduced to God, if I can ask you that?
So if you don't mind, can I talk a little bit about my book so I can bring you up to speed? Is that okay?
Yeah, you're okay. Fine. However you want.
So at 4 and 5 years old, I started being sexually molested. I'm 14 years old was my last punch in the face by my alcoholic father. 15, I watched a murder. By the time I was 20, I had a nervous breakdown. And at 21, I was being raped on a living room floor at knife point by someone who secretly lived in my attic for 2 months. I didn't know God. In our home, we listened to Teddy Pendergrass, Stephanie Mills, Freddie Jackson. That was like our go-to, because that's what my parents were into. We weren't into church. But then when they did start sending me to a little church, I was really happy about going. But because I was so abused, I was looking for the first open door that someone would accept me. And the pastor said, I really want you to be my secretary at 13 years old. And he took me downstairs. I went in there and he started talking to me. And then he grabbed me and tried to kiss me. But because I had been through so much of that kind of stuff, I ran out that church door and I didn't go back. So when God found me, he literally had to go deep to get me, because my whole life was dark. And it was to where you couldn't see the forest for the trees, and you didn't even know what tree was which, because it was just that dark. And the only way I knew God or heard of God was my father was standing at the front door, and it was a storm. And as the clouds were passing by and all that, you know, the thunder and lightning going on, he said, everybody down on the floor. And he had his hands behind his back and all the lights were out. And he said, God is going to come back for his people. And I'm thinking, God, people, he's going to get us. And, you know, the thunder and the lightning. I was afraid. That's how I was introduced to God. But how I learned about God was I had a really bad left sinus as a child, and I couldn't breathe, and my breathing would cut off. And my mother would never get off the couch to help me or do anything to take me to the hospital when I would stop breathing. And one day she said, you better get that Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about the healing. I knew nothing. And I took the Bible and I went upstairs and I laid there with the Bible on me. I didn't literally even know how to pray. And I put it on me and I just laid it there and I just rocked with it. And all of a sudden, I was able to breathe. And God was healing me through his word, through the red letters of his word that I didn't even know. He was showing up when I didn't know anything about him. I wanted to really have a good friend. I went outside and picked up a rock and I started talking to the rock every day. Would you be my friend? Not that the rock would talk back, not even knowing that what I was doing is talking to the rock, but the rock was Jesus Christ that I was leaning on. Didn't know these things. But later on, when God literally introduced himself to me, I think he went down past the casket, because normally you're 6 feet under. God went underneath the casket and pulled me out. And when he did that, and he showed up and showed himself real to me, nobody to this day can tell me that God is not real. And he literally taught me everything that I know about him and his love. And he taught me to forgive my parents. He taught me to forgive myself. And he taught me to move on. And he literally, when they say that song, he touched me, I promise you, he literally did touch me. And now I'm made whole.
That's a lot. And thank you for sharing. Yes. And I do want to ask, you know, was it tough for you to go and seek any, you know, the counseling or any type of therapy going through everything you went through? Like, walk us through if you even did that, and what was that process like? Because I can only imagine, you know, the stuff that you just said, if that stuff happened to me, I don't know where I would be. So just, you know, bring us up to speed if you have had some counseling to deal with the past childhood traumas and what that looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, like in our culture, what goes on in this house stays in this house. So we were getting the crap beat out of us. And, you know, I would try to tell the school nurse, and she came home with me one day, and, you know, we were telling my mother what I had told. And when they put my father out for the 2 weeks, he came back and he beat the brakes off of me. So I wasn't able to speak. And because of that, I kept everything inside. So by the time I was 20, I did have that nervous breakdown. And one day I was on an altar and I was just crying in my 20s. And there was a sister on there. She said, "I didn't know you were going through all these things." And at that moment, I learned that I needed to speak. I needed to talk. So my first form of therapy was write things down. I just started writing stuff down. It was like I was emptying my soul out on paper. And then after I got enough courage up to speak, I started speaking to a psychologist that was, she wasn't a psychiatrist, but she was a master. She had a master's in psychology. So I would speak to her and she would help me understand and break things down. And yes, that was my therapy. And then I got into church with someone that would literally help me through the things that I was going through. So it was writing. Yes, it was basically a therapist, and it was church. It was a sense of community that I needed, because when you're abused, it's almost like you are secluded in this little round bubble and you're not allowed to tell what's going on in the bubble. But one day that bubble was popped. And when it popped, this is what I realized. You don't have to tell who did what they did to you. You just have to tell the truth that happened to you. You get what I'm saying? A lot of people are afraid to tell because they feel like if I tell, it's going to hurt my mom. It's going to hurt my dad. And I didn't want to write anything about them, but I did write what happened to me. And the freedom was you don't have to put people's names down. You just have to write your truth.
It's a lot.
I got so many more questions I want to ask you. Listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, we have Michelle Elizabeth Williams on with us. We got to go to a break. We coming back with more. Don't touch that dial. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. We still got, the super talented mogul on Michelle Elizabeth Williams, don't we, Dice?
Yeah, we do. And she has been sharing her heart and her story, and it is definitely a touching, impactful one. And I will say, sadly enough, one out of three women experience some type of abuse or mishandling that you have been discussing with us. Definitely coming from homes that had different forms of abuse in it. What would you share with like a listener who's actually listening to your story right now? Like, and they're like, man, I am stuck in this type of situation. Like, what is a first step that they could even actually take to maybe start to make a turn, you know, them realizing like I'm here and I don't want to be here anymore?
I would say the first step would be acknowledgement. I remember going to one of these meetings one time. And when I got there, the lady had said to me, "The best thing I can tell you is," and this was a situation that I was in. I had got myself into a bad situation. She said, "Leave him. That's going to be your best bet." And I looked at her like she was crazy. Like, how dare you tell me to leave him? Why would you say that? And I felt like she was coming against everything that I was, almost like Tina Turner. Like, no, I can't leave, because if I leave, it'll look like what I've been through. But when I did get up and I left, it was like the most liberating thing that I could ever have done for myself, my family. So what I would tell someone is acknowledge what you're going through first. Get out as soon as possible. Get yourself some therapy and get on the right track. And whatever it would take for safety for you, no matter what that safety is, get to it. It would be like you out there in the middle of the sea, and someone throws you that little life thing, the little float, but you don't take it. You keep pushing it away when God is trying to save your life. You have to jump out there and you have to hold on to it. I don't care if your body's flipping upside down, your head is bobbing up and coming up. You have to understand that there is a lifeline there to help you. Therapy is lifeline. If you have to go to shelters, they are lifeline. You have to go to someone that you can trust. There has to be someone that you can reach out to get out of anything that you're in. Because if you don't, you're going to stay. And like I say, when you stay, you pay. But it's how you want to get paid. How do you want to get paid?
No, that's good. Why do you think so many women stay in these toxic and these abusive relationships? Do you think it's because of fear? Is it a mental thing?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of times, oh, we could just name a number of things. Daddy issues, you know, because they didn't have their daddy. They need a man to be there, no matter what that looks like. So they'll stay for daddy issues. Yes, fear is one of the number one things that people will stay because they're afraid. Because when people, words are so powerful. If someone says to you, I will kill you and yours if you leave me. That messes with people's mental and they feel like, what if he does kill me? I've been watching TV and people do, you know, so people get caught up in fear and they don't leave. And sadly to say, I just had a 32 year old girl, the boyfriend beat her so bad and he stabbed her and then he went and hung himself. And all I was thinking to myself was, God, if I would have known, I would have told her, I hate to say it, get him arrested now. Mm-hmm. Just get out of there. When my father was beating me back when I was a young girl, I would tell a young girl now, you don't have to take those punches in the face. You don't have to be beat down with the sticks. You know, you don't have to go through that. Get out now. You have to tell somebody. And the thing is, people don't like to bring their families down or the people they love because people may not believe them or they don't want to see maybe uncle such and such go down because of what they're doing to you. But you know what? It's your life. And if you don't sometimes save your own life, your very life can be taken from you. And I'm not talking about sifted from the earth. I'm talking about living in the earth, but living as a dead person in the earth because you're afraid to talk about it. So I'd say tell somebody.
I love it. Yeah, but a snitch. Snitch and go.
Snitching is not bad.
Go and snitch. I think it's going then snitch. Yeah.
People make it like snitching is so bad, but honestly, honestly, you know, if I could go back to, if I could turn back the hands of time right now, I would literally snitch a little more. You know why? Because I wouldn't have some places on my body that are busted up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been busted up like that. You know, a lot of things wouldn't have happened to me if I would have took the step to go a little bit further. But I stopped at Nurse Johnson.
Shout out to Nurse Johnson.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Nurse Johnson. Listen, we got to talk a little bit about this music before we get you out of here. Come on and talk about, you know, when did your musical career start for you? Like, why did you get into even doing music?
So when I was a little girl, I used to just go up in my room and just play music because the abuse was so bad in my house. You know, you know, having an alcoholic father coming and beating my mother and my mother fighting him. And the house was so chaotic, you know, all the time. And it was like my place of refuge, my place of solace was going in my room, putting a little record player on and just playing these songs that just, it wasn't even church songs. It was just music. Music just ministered to me. So I would try to sing. You know, I was in little school plays and things like that. But then when I got older, you know, I started writing songs. And one of the songs I wrote was I Know Who I Am. Because I didn't know who I was. Because basically when you're being beat the way you're being beaten, I was covered in blood so much that you couldn't even recognize me. All you would see was blood. You know, somebody else's dirty blood that was on me that they hadn't taken care of themselves. So they were dripping it on me. And I just, you know, finally, when I got myself together and washed myself off, I was like, oh, wow, there is a person in there. I am meant to be here. So I started singing. 2002, I put my first CD out, Creating Me a Clean Heart. I made it. And then later on, I put out the one, I Know Who I Am. So I haven't really been singing a lot. I wrote the book, Nobody Ever Told Me. I don't know if you've seen that, but the book, Nobody Ever Told Me. And I've been speaking about that. So what I do is because my passion, you know, the burning in my heart is still singing. But it's like when I'm talking, I'll be singing. Singing, I'll start talking. So it's like it goes well together.
That's awesome. That is awesome. What is the thing that you are most proud of about yourself now?
You know what? So I look at my children, and my oldest daughter will be 38. And my children are 38, 36, and 34. And they have children of their own. I'm such a great mother. Mm-hmm. They came out so good. You would never think that that would come out of me, knowing what I grew up in. But it's like I turned the generational curse. I flipped it, and mm-hmm. I gave my children what I did not have. And because I did, my grandmother, she disowned us. My father was an only child. I never got to meet my family. Mm-hmm. And my mother, we never met her mother. And when I first met her father, the next time I seen him, we were at his funeral. So wow. I had no grandparents. And because we were disowned by my grandmother, my grandchildren, I mean, when I open my arms to them, my heart just pours out. So what I'm proud of is that I am a mother. I'm a true mother. I'm a true wife. Mm. I'm a true family person. I'm a loving grandmother. Like, and we adopted four boys, even though our son was killed this year. He was shot and killed being in someone's backyard. He was taken away from us, and that was our only son. But what I am proud of is I'm sad for that, very sad for that. But I'm very proud that we have four boys that we've been taking care of over the past 6 years, and we adopted them, and we're raising great men for society. So I'm proud that we give back.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, we definitely, our condolences to you and mm-hmm. your husband too as well.
Thank you.
Sorry for your loss. Before we get you out of here, come on, you got to talk about, you know, y'all are media moguls too as well.
Let's
talk
about
all these radio outlets. It might be somebody, a CEO, looking to start their own radio platform. Speak to that a little bit, just on how you and your husband set that up.
Yeah, so my husband, he runs the Gospel Hip Hop Awards. He also has the radio network, Indie One Network. He has 46 stations under him. He's also with Sirius XM, the Holy Culture, the Underground. Yes, the Underground Hip Hop. He has all these things. But if anyone would like to even be a part of that, you know, they could reach out to him, the Jay Williams Show. You could find him anywhere on Google, Jay Williams 377 at everything. Everything that's out there that's digital, you can find him. But jwilliams377@yahoo.com, you can send him some music. If you want to be a part of his network, yes, you can do that. And yes, I am the supportive wife. I'm like right behind him, whatever he does. And the thing is, you know, people see that. When people see that, they think, oh, it's all the highs. But being the wife, you get to see all the lows. All the in-between, mm-hmm. all the no's, all the disappointment. You get to see all of that. But even in all of that, I got his back 150% watching him grow from 2015 to now. That guy is amazing. And he's an amazing man with great integrity. And I love that about him.
Listen, Michelle. Yeah, he is dope. Yeah, we appreciate you coming through, rocking with us. Come on and tell the mm-hmm. people how they connect with you, how they can go, where they can go find your book at, and everything about your entire platform, where they can find all the information at.
Everything about me is on MichelleElizabethWilliams.com. You'll find everything about me there. All my social media is linked to just that website. Oh, and my book, if you don't want to go there, nobody ever told me, Michelle Elizabeth Williams, Amazon.com. If you Google me, I'm on so many engines. You'll find me anywhere for that book.
We appreciate you coming through, kicking it with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. We got to go to a quick break. We're coming back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is it.
Shouts out to our sisters. Blanca and Ja'Kalen Carr. That's that new day. Wake up. It's a new day. Come on. Monday morning. Come on and get up and get out here and conquer the world. Go continue to be a great representation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, you are an ambassador. So with that comes a charge each and every day. So come on, continue to show the love of Christ and continue to represent to the best of your ability, because you never know when God want to use you on this new day. Shouts out to everybody. Thank y'all for waking up again with us again. So Dice, what's going on out in these streets? What we got going on?
Well, let's travel on to France. You know what I'm saying? We had two young ladies who wanted to make a point about food security, insecurity, and things like that. And they threw some pumpkin soup onto the Mona Lisa. So the two female demonstrators were caught on video, you know, in front of Leonardo da Vinci's 16th century portrait that hangs at the Louvre in Paris. And so, yeah. People, you know, obviously took pictures and filmed and things like that. But this is like a trend now. People are popping up in different museums where the artwork is famous and they have a huge audience. So one of the ladies, after they threw the soup on there, she took her jacket off and her shirt had a message that said food response. So they were yelling like, what's more important, art or the right to healthy and sustainable food? So they were just saying how our agricultural system is sick and our farmers are dying to work. And it's true. You know, I brought this up on a show before. I'm like, we have to start growing our food. Like 2030 is the year that if you go to these green summits, you know, and they have them typically like in Iceland, Greenland and Italy and things like that. But 2030 is the year where they want to start pushing urban growing. So if you have any space where you live, even if it's a balcony or a backyard, front yard, you're encouraged to start to grow your own food. We get over 50% of our food from China, for those of you who do not know. And so as we continue to, you know, come at odds with China and other countries, like, you know, wheat, a huge majority of our wheat comes from the area of Ukraine. So it's like you're wondering why prices are increasing. It's not that your store, your local Walmart or your local Whole Foods wants more money. It's the fact that shipping, you know, being able to get things on ships and get them over here to us. We're on an island and the people don't even think about that. Like, we over here, you know what I'm saying? So if it ain't, you know, coming from Mexico, like, we got to put that thing on the water. And right now it's a challenge. So I was like, huh, okay, these ladies about it. Now, obviously they're going to get fined. We know that. But I love that people take risk to bring awareness. Like, listen, you guys are over here paying a ridiculous amount to come see a piece of art that's hanging on the wall from a dead man. But we actually have people who are dying every single day because of the lack of food. So, yeah.
Wow, this is different.
Going down.
So I definitely agree I think, yes, absolutely. If they're having issues with, you know, food supply and vegetables and produce, yeah, I get that. Ooh. So definitely, I think it needs to be something needs to be done. But woo, Lord help me, I could just imagine if I own that fancy painting and somebody messed it up. I've just been honest, like, what
well,
did
they
I
keep
do?
It in case. They keep it in case, you know, painting like that. They're in glass.
Okay.
They're in glass. Ooh. You know, but still, but nevertheless, like, there's a huge risk there too. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, but people risk their lives for other people. And I'll be real with you, because we're in America and we rarely see people starving. And I don't know if you've ever been anywhere, folks, where you actually see, you know, little kids' stomachs protruding. And like, you know how you used to look on TV and you'd be like, dang, that looks crazy. It's like, no, when you see that real time,
yeah.
Bro, I remember being on one mission trip, we couldn't drink the water at all. So all the water had to be in bottles. And so we couldn't even brush our teeth or be in the swimming pools and things like that. And I just remember when I got home, I was just thanking God for water. I was like, thank you, God, for clean water. Like, it was like 30 days of me just thanking God for clean water, because whatever you drank, like, if it wasn't treated, you know, you could potentially really get sick and die. So, yeah, we live over here and we got a lot of safety in America, but other places don't. And I'll be real with you. God forbid.
How is that government system over there? What? Catch me up on speed. How does their system work over there? Because wouldn't that be more of a their problem? Like, shouldn't they be like in front of them and complaining and petitioning and, you know, protesting? Or maybe
it's not. Well, if you've ever been to Hispaniola, if you've ever been to Africa, if you've ever been to Haiti, especially Port-au-Prince, it's AKAs at the gas station. So it ain't like what you think. So you think you about to roll up and have a conversation with somebody. It don't work like that. And then obviously with the government being corrupt, it's twice as hard. So it's like people make money. Like if I have a water company, I can just roll up to neighborhoods and charge, you know, those little water, the blue ones where people throw the change in after the water's done, they go in a water cooler. Yeah, I can roll up with those and charge somebody $50. They're going to pay me because you're not able to get water.
Because the water supply. Yeah.
Water supply. Yeah. So, So it's like, it's a big deal. Like our quality of life over here is fantastic as compared to other places. And so we really do need to be grateful and thanking God each and every day that we can just go to a faucet and turn it on. And
yeah, that's clean.
Yeah,
that's real.
Yeah.
We definitely praying for them. Absolutely. Because, we want them to be able to, you know, have everything that they need to have.
Oh, yeah.
And those are necessities to survive. Let's be very clear. Just, you know, produce and clean water and stuff like that.
Basic needs.
Everybody should have that. So I'm in agreement with that. All right, coming up, don't touch that dial. Next up, oh yeah, me and Dice about to have this real tough conversation. Shouts out to all the kingdom marriages out there. We're talking about it today, marriage brawls. How to fight fair, how to fight, you know, the right way, you know what I'm saying? And we ain't talking about nothing domestic either. So for anybody struggling in that area, you need to go get help and counseling. So we're going to tell you that on top. Yeah, don't be smacking your husband around. Definitely don't be smacking your wife around.
Don't do it.
This ain't a boxing match in that way.
This ain't that.
Now, shouts out to everybody going in the bedroom and boxing a little bit. Yeah, it's, Lord. As my granddaddy would say, go in there and figure it out. Don't come out that room till you figure out what you like. Figure it out. That's a different type of fight. That's a good fight. I think the angels are rejoicing in heaven for that.
That type of fight, right? That's hilarious.
Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix.
The Fix is in.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. Your source of faith and fuse, hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. It's time to get real in these streets, Dice. And we're going to make some people mad today. I listen, thank y'all. The full disclaimer, I know you probably think we shouldn't talk about these things, but we have to talk about these things. I feel like we're called to fix for a reason, and I think we have unique experience in some of these situations. And I think it needs to be talked about a lot more. So, yeah, come on, Dice. This is yours. Real talk topic. What you got?
Well, you threw it out there. I was like, well, let's just go on a roll with it then. Roll with the marriage brawls. So, listen, those of you who aren't married, don't dip off right now because we might give you a little tip today to help you when you get ready to get married. You know, you might be able to share the info with a married couple that's in the middle of a brawl.
I think the first thing we got to unpack when we talk about marriage brawls, listen, communication 101. A lot of marriage brawls happen because of, not understanding how to properly communicate to each other.
Yeah.
When you talk about toxic communication, oh my goodness. Shouts out to all my
communication.
Shouts out. Oh, well I'm going to start with the verbal toxic communication. Shouts out to all my cussing saints out there. I know it's a lot of people, you know, that, you know, still get in the car after service and call their daughter, their grandson, or maybe their husband or wife. And they got all the bleep words.
The bleep words.
The strong, aggressive one, too, as well. You know, something that's, you know, mother something. And you know what I'm saying? B.I. You know what I'm saying? Just get real aggressive.
Ooh.
And I think a lot of times, let's be very clear, depending on how you were raised, these things trigger emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, shouts out to all the kingdom ladies who understand that, yes, y'all have powerful words on y'all tongue. And sometimes y'all provoke these arguments, these heated, we call them heated conversations in my house. We call them heated. Debatables. Yeah, heated fellowship. Forgive me. Heated fellowship. Sometimes my wife and I have to have heated fellowship. Yes. But one thing we learned is early, because yes, we were some of those cussing saints where we cuss each other out. We call everything up under the sun.
Mercy.
And it was not helpful because, of course, you know, me being a man, you ain't gonna say that B word, but one more time. And I promise you, I do not like to go to violence to ladies, but let's be very clear. That one I ain't. ain't no 6'8" dude out in the streets calling me that. So listen, I don't need to come home to my household and be called that. So yeah, out the gate. I had to go there out the gate because I think a lot of people are not communicating properly, Dice. And that's the problem when we talk about marriage brawls.
Yeah. Well, I would say communication is the problem if there's a brawl. I really don't think there's any other issue. It's just getting down to a lack of communication. So either somebody did something they weren't supposed to do or did something they didn't tell the other person they was going to do or, you know, did something to be vindictive. You know what I mean? But I think the issue behind it is there was zero understanding. So now I'm just acting out of my feelings, the things I know to do, what I saw growing up, how I saw my father treat my mother and my mother treat my father, or, you know, what the advice was from my grandmother. Just all of it. All of it. And some of it is horrible advice. I'll never forget my dad one time was telling me, he said, I guess he got some advice from my grandmother, and it was a pretty much aggressive advice towards my mom. And I was kind of shocked because I'm like, what? And I was really thinking, if my grandmother knew who my mother was, she would have never said that. So, but no. There are marriage brawls going on out there. Some of y'all plan these brawls too. This is what I don't get. How you go like 12 years and have the same brawl? Like, this is, now it's toxic. You know, I think if it goes more than 24 hours, it's toxic. I think I'll give you a day to get over a situation. I give you that. But we're not gonna be stuck on this all week. We can't be stuck on it all week because we're never gonna come to an agreement of how to fix the issue. So I'm laughing because I'm like, man, I think we spent the first 9 years of being married like planning the brawl. Like, oh, I know he don't like this, or I know she don't like that, so I'm not gonna do that, or I am gonna do that, and I don't care if she's mad. You know what I mean? And it's so corny because you wasted so much time. Like, you know, you could have been working on a solution instead of just judging and just being irritated and refusing to communicate or come to an agreement, or, you know, meeting halfway is what we call it in therapy, meeting each other halfway. So yeah, these marriage brawls, they end marriages. It's stupid.
Listen, I'm glad you brought up that key phrase. You absolutely meet me halfway.
Meet me halfway.
That's the problem. We live in a selfish world where everybody just want their way. No, you don't meet me halfway. This is what it should be. You're supposed to go with what I say. What you say is dumb. What you say is stupid. Like, yeah, we use those red words. Yeah, I'm going to use the red words because I know a lot of y'all out here losing right now. Yeah, we got red words in our house too as well. Cussing and you know, certain words like dumb, stupid, idiot, retard. Sorry, you know, listen, I'm just saying these words, no disrespect to nobody, but just using these words because these are choice words that we know are being used when we communicate. And to your point, I'm glad you brought up a key point.
What's that?
Ooh, we shouts out to all the ladies out there that know how to push the button. Just get petty. Every now and then, when y'all want to, y'all can be petty, and y'all know y'all get up under our skin, and y'all do it on purpose because I think y'all feel like this is the only way I can kind of ruffle his feathers and kind of bring him off his high horse or whatever. I don't know what it is, and we ain't even on no high horse. At least me, I'm speaking. I ain't even on no high horse, but just in general, my wife, she gonna keep it honest. Shouts out to my wife. I love her to death. I wouldn't do life with nobody else, but yes, she's the only one that could really take me there and get up under my skin. And she know it too as well. Shouts out. She used to do it a lot again when we were young in our marriage and kind of like growing and learning each other. But we don't play these games no more. We don't have these hard conversations.
Yeah, moved on. Okay.
Yeah, I think you have to move on. And to your point, the therapy part on both ends, we both have sought, you know, some counseling, also just, you know, some classes, you know, again, I talk about the community so much. Shouts out to everybody who are part of a church who has life groups that can help. You never know when you need to get into the grief program, or you might need to get into the man lifestyle of, what is it called? It's Man Versus Man is what the course is called at my church, but it teaches a man on how to not only live a lifestyle pleasing to God, but also just a holistic man and everything that goes into that. So like, I got so many points from that that maybe I didn't get from my pops or my uncles or my grandfather or somebody else that helped me and developed me as a man. So it's self-development individually first, and then, you know, coming to that relationship. That's when you got to show up and show out. But yeah, shouts out to everybody that's going to start today not being toxic and communicating and being disrespectful.
Let's start today. That's good.
This is the day. Listen, you're hearing this fresh word right now, Dice. What better day than right now then? You know, you're hearing a fresh word.
Yeah. I mean, we... talk about it all the time. My husband and I, obviously, we're the best of friends now, and we don't even care anymore. I mean, honestly, when one is tripping, and it's funny because I remember watching older couples go through that where one person would be tripping and the other one would just be totally at peace, like they'll be all right in a minute. Like, I think we've nailed that part now. They just, like, leave me alone, let me process and have my time, and then I'll get back to you. And, you know, we have the saying that, you know, you're not my enemy, you know. And here's the deal. You wouldn't want to keep injuring the person you're with, because now you're going to be with a hurt person. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it doesn't make sense to just throw a jab or arrow all week. It's like, man, so we're married and you're going to be with me forever. So, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to have a weak, broken down partner. You want to build that partner up. And if that's your partner, and as we say over here, like, we're friends, so I want you to be all right. You know what I mean? Like, so I want the best for you. So you should want the best for your mate. And I think a lot of these marriages, they're just crumbling and they're falling apart, is because you're not even looking at your mate as your friend. So it's like, y'all should be friends. You know, you should want to help each other get better. Not just want something from the person, but want them to actually grow and get better. You know, like, you guys have said yes and I do, and this is forever. So you are now responsible for the other person. Literally responsible for them. So, yeah, you got to have a little more care, you know, in a marriage. And I think when there's no love, and this is crazy because some people be like, you know, people, they once you're in love, you're in love. They not. You will fall out of love at any given moment. Yeah, don't fool yourself. Like, you can find yourself waking up one day where you're like, I literally hate this person and don't want to be with them anymore. I really am trying to find a way out of this, because you're so stuck, you know, in your pride, and you're like, man, maybe I made a mistake. But it's like, if you go back and you really listen to God's voice, you'll know you didn't make a mistake. You're just trying to run. So it's like, ain't no need to run. You found you somebody you could be with forever. It's a gift. So you should want to protect that gift as best you can, as best you can. So, yeah, and assume positive intent when people do stuff. You know, like, it's like, maybe they didn't mean to offend me. Maybe they didn't think to check the bank first. Maybe they didn't mean to leave such and such a daycare. You know, like, you got to be like, man, maybe they tired. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they are going through a lot at work, and give people some grace. But because you live with folk and you know where they're weak or where they're lazy, it's easy to kind of throw that out there when you're in the middle of an argument, when you're in the middle of a war. And that's unfair. So unfair.
Very unfair. Yeah. Very unfair. So off top, we've already talked about, listen, making sure when you talk about communicating, practice patience, because you do have to be patient to hear your spouse out. You just talked about, oh my goodness, speaking truth in love. Shouts out to Ephesians 4:15. Communicate with honest and love. Express your feelings sincerely, but with the spirit of compassion. You also brought that up, Dice. Definitely have compassion for your mate. Make sure that you hear them out. And another thing before we go to this quick break. Oh, my goodness. Woo-wee. A heart with ears. Shouts out to everybody who really want to listen. Shouts out to everybody who's not looking to respond back, but is looking to hear what your spouse is saying. And then be able to make sure you just do what they ask, not what you think should be done. Because we got a lot of people out there that's always doing it their way and thinking their way is the only way. No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's a compromise. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, shouts out. Listen, we're talking about it, marriage brawls. We got to go to a break. We're coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. We're just talking about it today, you know, talking about marriage brawls and how to communicate properly and make sure y'all ain't got none of these domestic situations and just doing stuff all out of pocket. I think we got to talk about setting boundaries, Dice. I think a lot of people are not setting boundaries. No, they all out of pocket, Dice. You know, they all just, what is you doing? Like, come on, just slow down a little bit. I think setting boundaries for effective communication, we need to do. And I think a lot of people, you know, but for whatever reason, don't sit down and just have a real heart-to-heart on, you know, things that you do like and things you don't like when maybe your spouse says something or how they communicate to you. Especially with men. I know men sometimes can be real aggressive. And listen, our wives, you know, they go through a lot. They do a lot. So some days, you can't come in all gung-ho and talking all, you know, loud. And it's like, tone it down, bro, tone it down. you know? just, you know, breathe a little bit. Just breathe. You know, for all my breathing exercise people out there that need to do that, to just kind of calm their nerves, so that way they can, you know, just have a conversation. Oh, it's all. Listen, I told you, I've been in real therapy. It's all type of ways now you can, you know, because you go from 0 to 10 real quick. You ain't got to go to 10. You can just go from maybe 0 to about a soft 4 and leave it at that soft 4. And know that this is your friend. Like you said, Dice, this is your friend. This is your lover. This is your spouse. This is your companion. Y'all on the same team. Why are you talking like this is somebody out in the streets and you want to put holy hands?
Well, you know what? It's funny that you say that, but because I honestly, my husband, I love him dearly. But sometimes if he comes home with that, I'm like, okay, so you didn't take that back to work because I didn't do nothing to you. And then he just kind of calms down and like, what's she talking about? I know. I'm sorry. But you really need to learn how your other communicates, because I don't know. My communication is when I get quiet. That's the problem. So, you know, some people, like if you're just now getting married and a person gets quiet on you, you might not realize that they are absolutely perturbed. And that's me. That's how everybody know, because I'm usually up, bubbly, chatty. And then when I shut that down, yeah, I'm just plotting. Like I'm literally plotting in my head what's going to happen next. And it might involve you ducking from dishes. I don't know, but you don't want me to get quiet. So when you learn.
Dice, you throwing the dishes. You, that ain't a frisbee, Dice. That ain't a frisbee.
Bro, we've had so much fun. Like this is what I'm saying. Like, you have to learn your partner, though, because some of y'all out here are doing stuff and it's dangerous. You know what I mean? And then you have these little petty brawls where you're like, oh, here we go again. You know, you just know a person needs to blow off some steam. So now they just huffing and puffing and pacing and, you know, oh, they didn't slam 2 doors. We get it. Okay, you're mad. Everybody knows you're mad now. We're going to give you like 30 minutes. Then we're going to come see why you're mad. You know, so it's almost like you just kind of got to learn people, you know? And so, you know, some people like to talk when they're upset. I don't. I like to be left alone. Like, I like to left. Please don't touch me. Like, it's that serious where I have to process, because I have in the past had super anger issues. So when I get quiet, it's because I'm processing how to deal with my issues. And some people get offended by that. Oh, you ain't talking to me. And it's kind of like you would not want me to talk to you right now. This is, you know, so you have to learn your person. And my husband's the total opposite. He's just like, I'm going to talk for 3 hours straight and I really don't care if you respond. And so I just be like, oh my God, like, get it off your chest. So I just sit down with something to eat and I just,
Not with something to eat. Mm-hmm. We got you a meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a minute, huh? Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, man. And then I'd be like, I'm like, oh man, honey. I'm like, how'd that make you feel? And he just goes, because he's not really mad at me. He's just frustrated at whatever it is. So I make sure I take detailed notes. And it's so funny. I have what LJ says to me in my notes. And then I read it back to him. But I had to learn to write down what he said, because an hour in, I'm tapping out. But I don't want to be disrespectful. So I keep, every time he says like a key point of something that bothered him, I make sure I write it in my notes. And then when he finally gives me space to respond, then I say, okay, so what you're saying is when you left the house, there wasn't any gas in your car. I was the last one to have your car, but you happened to be running late. So it made you extra mad when you got to work because you had to stop and get gas. You know, so it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you got to really like be still and listen. You said that just a minute ago. Sometimes you got to sit there and listen. But some of us have a hard problem listening, and then we start to get offended throughout the listening. But it's like, just sit in the space and listen. And then if you are trying not to be offended, write down what they're actually saying, because then you might really get what the problem is. It ain't that they, you know, calling you stupid as they're in the thing. No, you stupid. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't be silly. Now, I will say this. One thing, we've never called each other names over here, because that was just my defining line when we got married. It was like, if you call me out of my name, I'm going to act exactly like whatever it is you call me. So be prepared. And that was it. That was like the one rule. Like, you can huff and puff and be upset and raise your voice and yell and do all that. Cause I ain't scared. You don't put your hands on me. As long as you put your hands on me, we good. And I let you process. You let me process and we good. But when you call me out of my name, though, that is the ultimate form of disrespect in this household. Because now you don't even understand what God has done for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm still his child. And my name is Dice. Uh-huh. And I'm not your ex. So that, you know, that was our thing, was like, okay, don't put your hands on me. Don't call me out my name. You can vent all you want. You can tear all this stuff up. I don't care. We got homeowners insurance. We'll buy whatever new. Yeah. Tear the door off if you want. It's your door. You pay for that. Go bust every window out your car. I don't care. Like, it's your car. You pay for that. So if you're that foolish to do that, please go. Just don't put your hands on me. Okay. So, you know, you got to know how each other communicates, though, because some people come from terrible backgrounds where just them yelling is actually them getting better, because before they used to really fight who they were with. You know, like, that's why I was like, you kind of got to know what a person's been through. So, you know, I'll just be honest. Like,
no, that is being honest. And I'm glad you said that, because that's why it's so important to sit down and communicate. Learn your spouse. Shouts out to everybody who really court for real and do the dating process. Yeah. What y'all think courting and dating is for? That's what that's for.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to be asking all the questions, all the tough questions.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be going around and seeing the family and everything and knowing who you are part of. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody don't like it turned up too. So that's another part of it. Like,
I don't know too many who don't like it turned up, Dice. I don't know.
Some people scared. I like to be afraid of my husband sometimes. Like, I don't know what he's going to do. It's kind of exciting. Like, that's why I was like, you got to know your relationship. Like, make me nervous. You know what I'm saying? Let me know you running this. Like, it put a little something in your soul. You'd be like, like, it's sexy to me, you know? So, but some people don't like that. They'd be like, oh, he need to be talking nicer. And I'm like, I need him to run around here like a lot. Like, let me know you going to turn up. Then I kind of shrink back a little bit and get back in my place. But, you know, women, and it's sad because some people are like, that is just horrible. I'm like, well, that's what we like over here, bro. Just let me know. It's your house. Okay. Let me go sit down. I have several seats right now. I sure will. Want something to eat? I'll be in the kitchen.
Wow.
We're a little traditional. Go ahead.
No, that's good. And I think before we get out of here, we got to talk about the importance of praying together. I think a lot of these marriage brawls are happening because couples ain't praying and reading a word together and getting in God's word and understanding what this marriage is really about. I think we put ourselves too high on the totem pole when you talk about what the marriage is, what it represents. Oh, I make this, or, you know what I'm saying? I did this. And no. Yeah.
I like that focus, but I'll be honest with you, brother. Sometimes a lot of these Christian relationships, the man or woman will use that Bible for correction when they don't feel like hearing or communicating. And that's the problem that I have with religious people. When it's like, the word of God say blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, but if you're not walking in love right now, you don't throw that at me like a hammer or a trigger or a bullet to try to check me. So I feel like I need to say that for some of y'all, because some of y'all think just because it's in the Bible, your mate got to do it. But it's like, if you out of line, you out of line. You know, I agree with you, what you said. I just said some people use it as a... Who are these people?
Listen,
it's the pastors and ministers. Listen, it's the men and women of God out here checking it. Yeah, well, a woman should be da, 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 da. And it's like, okay, but what are you showing up and treating your woman like the church? You know, are you loving her like Christ loves the church? Because it sounds like you're not. It sounds like you're not, sir. So it's like, if you're not acting accordingly, please don't ever think your wife is about to follow suit. You're supposed to be her covering. You know, you're supposed to be, as Christians, we're supposed to be pulling out the good in each other. We're supposed to be showing up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I got to throw that out there. And it's tough. I know sometimes, you know, men, because women can be very, very vicious, but you really got to understand, like, you got to be a protector. And that's not just physical protection. That's mental, emotional, spiritual. So it's like, yeah, you can't just throw up the word and think somebody gonna fall in line. That it don't work like that. And y'all can pray all y'all want, but if your hearts aren't aligned towards each other, it's that prayer fall on deaf ears. You hear me?
No, that's real. Well, I think the biggest thing is, like you say, growth. We need to continue to have encourage each other to grow and get better in this area. Mm-hmm. I know when y'all get a chance, read 2 Peter 3:18. It encourages the process of growing in all areas of your life. Also, check out Proverbs 14:8, because that, come on now, you already know what that is. That's wisdom when you talk about solutions for you know, being able to not have these toxic relationships and these marriage brawls. Like, at the end of the day, this is toxic. We know it's toxic. We need to get better. We need to grow. We need to seek wisdom. And I'm with you on that, Dice. Absolutely. Shouts out to y'all who out there using the Bible and using it for your advantage just to shame your spouse. Stop doing that. No. If you're going to bring God into it like you should, and you want to bring some scripture and you want to break that thing down, listen, make sure you're right, you know. And then that's the beautiful thing. Talk about both sides. Absolutely. You know, it's pros and cons to everything. I'm glad you brought that up, Dice, because you're absolutely right. Talk about both sides. So if you're out of pocket, okay. It's okay. Husband, apologize. Wife, but apologize. But I mean, just say
you're sorry. Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Wrong.
No.
I was wrong.
Apologies. Apologies are not easy for people. That's not easy. I found that out.
I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It'll never happen again. It's so easy. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It'll never happen again. I was wrong. I'm sorry. This is so, it's so small. It is so small. Oh my God. Oh, baby. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Ooh, did you get mad when I said that? Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, it's a lot of fun when you get into loving each other the right way. Then it's easy to apologize. But and then it's easy to accept an apology, you know? But yeah, that repetitive behavior though, you got to check that. But I'm just saying, like, it's some stuff can get solved with just, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And then I'll be real with you, candy, food, going shopping, and putting money in my bank account usually works very well. So just throw that out there. I moved over two G's for you.
Candy, food. Making something to eat and
put some little change in my account.
If it's a deposit, she got the alerts on. Ding! Hey, my baby love me today.
I accept your apology.
Can you take me to the store now? Oh, Lord, help me. Marriage brawls, that's it. We got to go to a break. Keep it locked. We got much more. You're tuning into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yes, sir. God, good. Everything good. Shouts out to Caleb Gordon. Wake up, wake up. Thank y'all for waking up another blessed day. Shouts out to everybody on the West Coast waking up with us. Thank y'all for rocking with us, all our new listeners and supporters. Listen, make sure y'all following us on all social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show. Mm-hmm. That's DAFIXX Radio Show. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and YouTube. Make sure y'all listen, like, comment, subscribe, and put that notification bell for our YouTube channel. We got tons of content over there. I think we just dropped that Tadashi interview for y'all too as well. Shouts out to T-Dot. So go over there and watch the interview in real time. Thank y'all for waking up again. Happy birthday to who, Dice?
Listen, happy birthday to a lot of people today. Madison Bailey's turning 24 years old. David Spencer, the YouTube star, he's turning 31. Mr. Tom Selleck himself is turning 78 years old. Charlie Wilson, okay, in the building, turning 70 years old. Everybody know who is first name Charlie, last name Wilson is. And listen, the really big one right here is our $4 billion lady here, Oprah Gail Winfrey. For those of you who wonder why Gail and Gail are so close, she is the number one money-making American talk show host, television producer, actress, owner of satellites, and you name it. She's known for her show, her broadcast from Chicago for 25 years, and of course just the OWN network, and the list goes on and on. And I gotta give a special shout out to Stedman himself, who hung in there, and now he's what you call it, focus, when you stay together for so long, y'all married, what's it called, common law.
Is he really?
They've been together since 1986, and he is her partner. So after you with somebody for, I think it's 12 years, ain't it? It's something like that. Then you're,
I don't know,
that's your partner.
Because I actually got married. I don't understand why they just didn't get married. I don't understand why they just
together.
Didn't do it.
You together forever, ever, and ever, and ever. So happy birthday to each and every one of you who have a birthday today. So all you January 29th birthdayers, today's your day.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Dice. I feel a certain type of way about that.
Common law?
I do. Well,
common law?
So, no. So, my thing is, because it's reversed, because it's, you know, everybody. Reversed. Yeah, I kind of feel a certain type of way. You know, obviously, Stedman is okay with it, but I don't know. I just feel a certain type of way. I feel like, I don't know. I just don't feel, I don't know. It just feels funny. It just, saying it the way you said it, it just, it feels funny. It don't feel like, no, I'm just used to the man, you know what I'm saying, proposing to his wife. And, you know, like, yeah, now I can get no shade at all. I don't care that, she makes more money than me. I don't have an issue with that. But I just still feel like it feels weird that we're saying a man is common law married to his wife.
Well, I mean, who else is he about to go be with, Focus? You ain't getting nobody.
I don't want him to be with nobody else, but it just seems weird. It's like, I'm saying, I don't know.
Once the Oprah says yes, I'm not going nowhere. I mean, she don't got to marry you. You just like, oh, if she say we good, you just got to sit on over there and be good now.
No, I can't do that. I can't.
Yeah,
do
you would. Don't play.
I would not. I'm too much of an alpha man to let. No, that's too to me. Again, I come from a different cloth. That just seemed a little bit like you don't respect me as a man. I just feel like that's
there's
just me.
Nothing. He can't give her nothing. Like, and let's be honest. Let's be honest.
It's more than just money that you give in a marriage. So
she was 19. So look at it. So she started that show in Chicago, 1986. She met Stedman in 1986. So let's be real. You and I both know Stedman has had a lot of input in Oprah Winfrey's life, but we never talk about it. We always make it seem like she's done whatever, but it's just like you or I, like we can't leave our husbands or our wives out of our success. You know, they play half of the role. Like nobody ever sees them though. So they just see our face. You know what I'm saying? And I know for a million facts that if you ain't have your wife, bro, I don't even know where you be. I'm talking about not even just the fix. I'm like, she is a boss. You know, like I can at least say that after meeting her, I'm like, she's fire. But nobody will ever really see her face anywhere unless we start like pushing her face like that. So I say all that to say I'm 1,000% sure that Stedman has contributed to, I'm a bold and say 45% of Oprah's success. You got to have somebody solid behind you. And this man has proven, because Oprah could have bought anybody. She could buy people now. She don't even need, if she wanted to, she could have bought her 3-4 husbands. Like, you know,
now she could buy any person she wants.
Yeah, she ain't got to love you. You know what I'm saying? She could just buy people. Like,
how much you want a month? How much you want a month?
20K? That's nothing. That's nothing. I got 20 billion. You want 20K? Like, that's petty. Like, I eat that on the weekend.
Check your emails for my demands. Check your email for my demands. My monthly demands. Be on time, too. Please. Be on time.
Be early. Don't play. Don't play. Be early, brother.
That's so wrong.
Yes.
Listen, shouts out. Shouts out to Oprah. Shouts out to Oprah and Stedman. I would love to. I would love to them one day. Yeah, I would love to.
It would be so much fun. My goodness.
Pick her brain on so much stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, coming up, we got Lyrics for the Mind as well as the Faith and Sports Report. So keep it locked. We're going to a break. We'll be right back with more. You're tuned in to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yo, what's good, family? Welcome back. It's your boy DJ Focus. And welcome back to another episode of Lyrics for the Mind, where we dive deep into lyrics of impactful songs and explore the mental health themes they address. Today, we're diving into Miami's Pray and Slay's track. Now, this is a powerful anthem against life struggles. Now, Miami starts off by acknowledging the daily grind and challenges women face. Did you know that women are more likely than men to experience depression, with cultural and society pressures playing a significant role in that? The theme of praying and slaying giants resonates throughout the song. It's a metaphor for facing life challenges head on. Miami brings in the biblical story of David and Goliath, emphasizing that God always makes a way. Miami also touches on trusting God when everything is going in a spiral, when everything seems like it's out of whack. This is critical, especially when dealing with life's uncertainties. Did you know that faith and spirituality can positively impact mental health? Statistics from the American Psychological Association show that 76% of women who incorporate faith and spirituality have a positive impact on dealing with mental health issues at large. Now, this song dives into the struggles Miami has faced in her life, from losing family members, from dealing with brokenness, all the mental health challenges, and how she's always felt like she's been misunderstood. Now, Miami being open and being this vulnerable really sheds a lot of light on all the mental health struggles that women go through every single day, and how they're scared sometimes to even go get therapy or even talk about these things. Miami emphasizes that her faith and trust in God sustains her. This mirrors the experience of many who have fell short with lack of strong spiritual growth. Miami's declaration of being a soldier and facing life challenges with faith showcases resilience. Now let's continue to keep this conversation going and break down these stigmas. This is Lyrics for the Mind, turning lyrics into lessons. Remember, you're never alone in this journey. Lecrae, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, your power, that thing is still high in my motivational songs for the morning. We also played shouts out to Bizzle. Shouts out to Bizzle and Childlike CC with that bussing. We also played that new banger. Shouts out to our bro George Rose with that algorithm. So yeah, thank y'all for waking up with us. Another day in the books. I pray y'all enjoyed this show. How good was that convo we had on marriage brawls and how to fight fair and how to get right a little bit, Dice? You know, I feel like the 2024, I think marriages need to go to a different level, especially in your communication, how you communicate, and also too as well. I think a lot of people, you know, we need to get that respect back into marriages. I think some people just too disrespectful, Dice. I'm being honest with you. I hear these jokers cussing each other out, and I say they ain't no respect in that. Them choice words right there ain't no respect. If we was on the streets, I promise you, we'd be behind a bar. Hey, like two bears fighting. Like I don't know how y'all go around these households and jokers is cussing you out and calling your mama this and your daddy that and this. Ooh, we just fight fair. Lord help me. These red words, y'all need listen. Red. I know we got the red letters in the Bible, but it should be red words that you do not use when you're communicating with your spouse. This is supposed to be your teammate. This is your life partner for life. Like, what are we talking about? The mother of your kids, the father of your kids. Like, what are we talking about? Why is this thing so complicated? But I think this toxic relationship with, we see everything on TV, Love and Hip Hop and all this drama. It seemed like the world is feud on it right now, Dyson. It's something that we need to change, especially in marriages, because we know eventually these toxic relationships, communication, it just leads to divorce. Because at some point, somebody gonna wake up and say, you know what? I'm tired of you cussing me out. I'm tired of you putting your hands on me. I'm tired of it. And they out.
Yeah. I mean, I got enough PTSD with domestic violence in my life, so I've seen enough. You know, that's another reason why I can't be with anybody who is even has a hint of they want to be physically violent, because this is the same thing with the road rage. Like, you don't know what a person's been through, so you might trigger them. You might just think, oh, I'm just gonna let this one slide, and then you don't know that they was called that name for 15 years, and now they just done, you know, and they ready to pop off as soon as they hear it, you know. And for those of you who are in like a relationship with domestic violence, I encourage you to get out of it. Seek counseling if you just are trying to stay in it. But I'll be real with you. If anybody hits you, they'll kill you. And my grandmother told me that a long time ago. And trust me, I've almost lost my life in a car with my mom and or my stepmom and my dad. My grandmother had just passed away, and it was a sensitive situation. And my stepmom then was just running her mouth and called him, a motherless child. And then our car just happened to end up facing traffic, you know, like it was a situation like that where they brawling, you know, in the car, and I'm in the car and I'm just like, let me out of the bleeping car. Let me out of the bleeping car. If y'all want to kill yourself, you go kill yourself together. But I don't want any parts of this. So I'm like, people really have real life situations. And so it's like, yeah, you don't need to be married just popping off and acting any kind of way, because you don't know what people have been through, you know. So, you know. And you can go to all the counseling you want, you know, all therapy you want. You can give it to Jesus all you want. But your body is muscle memory. So it's like, you know, you can get like startled when stuff happens. That's why some people don't like arguing and yelling. That's our house. We don't do arguing and yelling. Can't do it. Grew up that way. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Because it just brings back this horrible feeling of, you know, you guys, you know, y'all didn't know how to respect each other. And, you know, kids, that just gets embedded in kids' souls. So when people start yelling, like when we out and about and people start turning up, I'm looking for my piece, my knife. I'm looking for something, because I'm just triggered, like, okay, it might not happen, but if it does, but if it happens, I'm ready. know what I'm saying? So it's like you can mess people up by, you know, and this is for y'all couples that's out there arguing in front of kids and stuff like that. Like you can really, you know, traumatize your children. Yeah. And they can have healthy lives and all that. But shoot, sometimes take a minute to get over the trauma. So say all that to say, get better, do better. Stop brawling. Start loving.
Yeah, please start loving. And getting your word. Please get God back at the center of your marriage. Because I think a lot of this stuff, because ain't nobody praying, ain't nobody talking about God, and y'all just think y'all doing it on your own. Listen, it's a Trinity. Shouts out to everybody who believes in the Trinity in the marriage. God at the center.
Husband, wife.
Let's keep that thing right at the center. Because, you represent him in your marriage, not yourself. So get out your feelings and stop bringing up old stuff from your parents and your mom and dad. No, I'm not a fan of that. I know a lot of people bring that up. My mama did it this way. My daddy did it this way. That's cool. Right.
Should have married your mama. Yeah. That would be my response. Yeah.
You should have married your mama.
I'm thugged out over here. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No, shouts out though, because we mentor a lot of married couples, and we do premarital mentoring, and that's the first thing. You know, I want him to do it like my dad did it. I want him to do it. I want her to do it like my mom did. It's like, no, wait a minute. You guys are going to share your own experience. You guys are going to build on what you guys build, what you guys create. Absolutely. You know, you can take some things from, you know, your parents, but this is your life. It's going to be different than what your parents was. Just like your parents' life was different than your grandparents were. So let's just keep that in mind, because that ain't real either too as well. That ain't a real expectation. Stop. Stop. We love y'all. Shouts out to our sis, Michelle Elizabeth Williams, came through. Powerful testimony, Dice. Powerful testimony.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like she shared it all, and I thank God for her. You know, her life and her push and her fight and her testimony and just the fact she's putting it all in a book. And so you guys can check her out at MichelleElizabethWilliams.com. Make sure you're following her on all your Instagram and social media platforms, because like you said, she's out here doing it big. Her and her whole family, like they have just amazing testimonies, and the way they serve community is beautiful. So she's an awesome woman. It's an honor to have her on.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, that's it, y'all. Make sure y'all tap in with us tomorrow, Tiptoe Tuesday. We got another exclusive spiritual detox. Of course, a real talk conversation. Listen, go out and be great. Don't touch that dial, though. Our sis is coming up next. Shouts out to our sis, Raina Day, and our brother, Ann Davis. The Daylight Morning Show is up next. And come on, we got What It Be's Like at 2 o'clock today. And shouts out to our brother Wado with the Wado Show at 6 p.m. today. Don't touch that dial. We need y'all to stay tapped in the Holy Culture Radio all day. Tell somebody about what we're doing on The Fix and all the other shows right here on Holy Culture Radio Sirius XM. Make sure y'all are just sharing and just continue to support. We need y'all support. Everybody at your church, everybody at your job need to know about this. This is good inspiration, good motivation, good conversation, and this music be banging. Stop playing. Y'all know the thing be all the way lit. Until tomorrow, we love y'all. As always, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Jesus Christ is always the answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The Fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.